But we're going to pray, and let's get ready. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity we have tonight. And Father, I pray that we would all just be learning and growing. Lord, that you would speak into our lives tonight and help us, Lord, along our way. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. Amen. Well, you know, a couple of weeks ago when I spoke on Wednesday night, I told you I was kind of doing a follow-up to the Sunday morning message. And really, this message tonight on leadership is a follow-up to the series that we have on Sundays right now. And just feel like, you know, God's just kind of focusing that way. And I'm going with it. So you see the title, Leaders Are Learners. We've been talking about on Sundays how important it is that we're always learning, always growing, that we're teachable, that we don't ever get stagnant in our faith, but we're always moving forward and learning more. But I want you to realize this, that all of us, every one of us, whether you have a strong personality, a bright personality, or you're an introvert, or you're real quiet and easygoing, listen, let me tell you something. All of us influence somebody around us. Whether we realize it or not, in one way or another, other people learn from us. They're learning something from us. They learn from our example, and they learn from the things that we say. It doesn't matter if we ever formally teach. I can assure you that other people are learning from you, for good or bad. Amen. Listen, if you have children, I can assure you there's some people learning from you. You might not think so, but they are. And sometimes they're learning from you what they don't want to do, right? But they're learning from you. And if you have coworkers, I'm telling you, they're learning some things from you. You have friends, they're learning some things from you. But our influence teaches something. To lead others in the right way, we should always be learning. It's really a pretty simple concept that if we are going to be helping others to know the Lord, helping others to do what's right and to obey Scripture, then we ourselves had better be learning. The student becomes the teacher. You know, the greatest teacher of all time is Jesus. His teaching turned the world upside down, still impacting the world. It was radical. They said he teaches as one with authority. And listen, the teachings of Jesus left a lasting legacy, an eternal legacy. The world's never been the same because of the teaching and the things that Jesus did. Was Jesus ever a learner, or did he just show up already knowing everything? I mean, I've seen the picture of him in the manger where he looks like he's about 5 years old and his head has this aura. You know, he's all glowing and everything. You reckon as he was sitting in that manger or laying in that manger as that little toddler that I don't think he was born 5 years old, by the way. But anyway, do you think that he just showed up already knowing everything? Boy, how annoying that would be for his parents. Right? No, he didn't show up knowing everything. He learned. Now, some of you, the wheels are turning right now. I can assure you that as the God-man, he didn't show up already knowing everything. Well, how about some scripture for that, Pastor? John 8:28, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. You know what Jesus spoke? What the Father taught. That's right. What the Father taught him, that's what he spoke. Jesus himself learned from the Father, and he spoke it. And I'm just telling you that the student becomes the teacher. that, Matthew 5, 1 and 2, we call his disciples. Here's one example of that, Matthew 5, 1 and 2, we call it the Sermon on the Mount, but it says, seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him, then he opened his mouth, and he taught them. And we talked about this a lot on Sunday a couple of weeks ago, and we all know this, and it's so prevalent in the scriptures, in the gospels, but I just want to nail it down here. Jesus taught his disciples. He was teaching them a way of life. He wasn't just teaching them like head knowledge, like, oh, well, I'm gonna get my degree in, you know, Jesus teaching. No, it's not like that. He was teaching them how to live his kind of life, how to be a disciple of his. They had to be students of his. They were learners. He taught, they learned. That's the way it worked. They weren't just learning a head knowledge thing, but a life change. It was transformational. They weren't the same anymore because they had been changed by the teachings of Jesus. The disciples became the teachers of the early church. Isn't that amazing? These guys, you know, the religious people called Peter and John ignorant and unlearned men. You know, they were fishermen. What qualified them? These guys weren't educated. Well, wait a minute. Yes, they were. They were educated by Jesus. You need to realize that. They, in some ways, by the world standards, yes, they were ignorant and unlearned. But they had learned from Jesus. They had been taught. You know what qualified them to be teachers? They had learned. And man, did they teach. The church, that early church, they continued in the apostles' doctrine day by day. The church was learning and growing, and who were they being taught by? Those guys that Jesus had taught. And the students became the teachers. By the way, it even happened while Jesus was still here. You know, Jesus didn't just say like, hey, someday, no. Mark 6:30, it tells us that the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. So even while Jesus was here, the disciples, the apostles, were already going out teaching other people. How long had they been with the Lord? Well, he was only here about 3 years, so they had only been with him about 3 years at the most here, maybe just a couple of years, and they are going out teaching people. They come back and tell Jesus all the stuff that's happened, and this is what we taught. There's a whole lot of people have been with Jesus a lot longer than 3 years, and they're not teaching nobody. Now, I want to make this clear. Not everybody is called to be a teacher, but everybody, in a sense, is to teach others because all of us are called to make disciples. We are his disciples, and he's given us a job. We're supposed to teach others. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Listen, Jesus' commission is not just to the evangelist, the missionary, the pastor. No, Jesus' commission is to the body of Christ. And he says, go and make disciples. You can't make a disciple without teaching them. And most teaching, in fact, the best teaching, is not done from a pulpit. It's done in everyday, real life situation and circumstance. And you talk to people. about how to serve God and what it means to live for the Lord. You influence other people to follow Jesus, whom you are following. You teach other people what you have learned. Oh, wait a minute. I see a pattern here. That's exactly what Jesus did. He said, I speak the things that my Father has taught me. And the disciples were taught by Jesus, and then they went out. And we, the church, have this commission that is we have been discipled, that then we disciple others. And he specifically says here that teach them all things. Teach them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. So we always have to be learning and growing. Hebrews 5, 11 and 12 in the NIV. I think this couple of verses here not only speaks to the Hebrews, but it speaks so clearly and prophetically to our day. He says, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you're slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. And I say it is prophetic of our generation because there are so many people who know so little about the Lord and the scripture and what it means to really serve God and live for God. And they've been a Christian for a long time, but they can't teach anybody else. They need to go back and learn it all over again themselves. And I'm telling you, if we're going to lead our kids, if we're going to lead our neighbors, we're going to lead somebody in the workplace, we're going to lead someone, a drug addict, to come to know the Lord and follow the Lord, we need to be learning. There's this lazy, lethargic spirit on much of the church. Well, I just sit back, put my feet up, and listen to Brother So-and-so on the TV. But you know, that's good enough for me. We don't need any more fluff and stuff. We need people who are grounded in the Word of God, who know what the Bible says, who can really help people. You know what's awesome about the body of Christ is that we're everywhere. See, the enemy always wants people to think, well, you know, that's the professional clergy's job. No, it's not. The fivefold ministry is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. We need to be learning the Word of God. We need to be being taught so that we ourselves are ready to teach and help others. But to lead others, we have to keep learning. If we're not continuing to grow, it will not be long until we can't take those we're leading any further. It's Luke 6:40. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone only disciples someone. It says very simply and clearly that you can only disciple someone to the extent that you yourself have been trained, to the degree that you know. You see, that's as far as you'll ever be able to take somebody. Now, I'm not talking about you Wednesday night people. Y'all are awesome. I know you're hungry and you're learning and you're growing because that's why you're here on Wednesday night. But I'm just telling you, there's a lot of people, if they were going to talk to somebody about the Lord and answer their questions and tell them what they know about God, they'd be done in less than an hour. Now, if you're a babe in Christ and you just got born again last week, that's okay. But we ought to always be learning, always growing, always becoming a more mature believer. We have a deeper understanding day by day. Just keep growing in the Lord. so that we can have a greater influence, so that we can take people further. Because I'm going to tell you, you can't take somebody any further than where you are. Pastor Rick Warren says, all leaders are learners. The moment you stop learning, you stop leading. The moment you think you know it all, you're dead in the water. If you think your education is finished, you're finished. He says, Ecclesiastes 10:10 is my life verse. If your axe is dull and its edge is unsharpened, more strength is required, but skill will bring success. So you got to always be learning, sharpening your axe, getting better. You can't teach what you don't know. You can't lead where you're not going. If you're leading someone, you're taking them somewhere. And if you're not going anywhere, you're not leading anybody. The day we sit down satisfied is the day that we became a bad example. Professor Howard Hendricks said, the best teacher is the one who is always a student and always learning. I believe that. I went to Bible college many years ago, and I had some teachers who put me to sleep. And I had some teachers who had such anointing and fire. It just amazed me that I'm sitting in a classroom and so powerful. How could this be? Because they were still learning and growing and studying. They weren't just feeding me yesterday's manna, but it was fresh in their heart. Howard Hendricks tells about a professor who made a big impact on his life. And he used to pass by this professor's home. And he noticed that early in the morning and late at night, he would see the professor's light on and he would be in there studying, going over his books. And so one day he asked him, he said, Doctor, I'd like to know what it is that keeps you studying. You never cease to learn. And he said, son, I would rather have my students drink from a running stream than from a stagnant pool. Now, you know what? When you talk to people about the Lord, it is an awesome thing if you can tell them about how that 20 years ago that God saved your soul, and 15 years ago God healed you and you had this experience and that. But no matter how many great experiences you've had, if you're not still learning and growing yourself, I'm telling you, it's going to lack much fire and much anointing and much meaning and influence in their life. You got to keep growing. You know, this passage is, I've used it so many times for so many things, but I think it's so applicable tonight. In Philippians 3, 12 through 14 in the NIV, Paul says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I don't consider myself to have yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. He goes on, he says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained, join with others in following my example. And I'm telling you, you see, Paul says, join with others in following my example. What is the example that he's just set forth here? That I'm not content to stay where I am. I'm not going to be lazy and lethargic, but I'm going to keep reaching forward to all that God has for me. I'm going to keep pressing on. And I just want to tell you, there are people that you are leading, people you are teaching, people you are influencing by your very life. What kind of example are you being for them. Paul was a great example, always pressing on, always learning, growing, reaching forward to all that God had for him. But if we want to see others grow in the Lord, we ourselves have to be growing. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Be diligent, he says. The King James says, "Study to show yourself approved to God." I don't know about you, but I think that the church needs to be convicted that it's not enough to just hear somebody preach once in a while. We're supposed to be students of the word. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman. And we're all supposed to be doing the work of the ministry. So we all have people in our life that God wants to use us to reach. Let me tell you what part of the problem is. There's a lot of us that need to be ashamed. Oh, now wait a minute, preacher. There ain't no shame on me. Not if you are studying to show yourself approved unto God. Did he really say that? A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I don't want to take a long time here because I got a long ways to go in this message, but I got to get this in. I'm just telling you. Listen, don't start quoting brother so-and-so. Even myself, listen, you need to know the Bible yourself. You need to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. We got too much of this candy gospel, and it isn't helping people. They need the real truth of the word of God. You need to study to show yourself approved unto God. So you're not ashamed, but you're rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, you know what? If you don't know much of the Bible, you might just feel overwhelmed right now. Let me tell you where you start, right where you are. You just start learning and growing and learning and growing. There's no shame in that. Now, if you stay where you are for 20 years, shame on you. Start growing up. Get with the program. God wants to use you in greater measure to lead people and help people, but you've got to be prepared. How are you going to be prepared? You're going to study. You're going to learn. We need to teach others. We need to be teaching others in real life situations like Jesus did. You see, you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a teacher of a small group or a children's class teacher. All those things are great. In fact, by the way, those things come with a great accountability and responsibility before the Lord. But all of us have some accountability and responsibility to teach others. Remember, if you're going to disciple, Jesus said you're going to teach them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. So all of us have a responsibility to, if we're going to help somebody, we're teaching them the things that Jesus has taught us. But Jesus taught in real life situations. Mark chapter 11 is one of the passages where Jesus goes into the temple, and we call it the cleansing of the temple, but verse 15 through 17, it says, "Jesus went into the temple to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple. He overturned their tables." Moving along for time's sake, all right? Verse 17, "Then he taught, saying to them," you see, he just cleansed the temple. And what's he going to do next? He taught. He took this as a real life opportunity. He thought it was important to teach them something here. If you are a parent, You get a bunch of these. You should be having these every day. I know my kids probably got tired of me preaching to them. You can imagine. But between Carmen and the Lord, they turned out pretty good. I'm just telling you, you need to be teaching your children every single day the eternal truths of the Word of God. All the time, we're around people and there are situations that come up and there's opportunities for us to do like Jesus did and say, look, let me teach you something about this. But we got to be prepared for that. Jesus did it. Real life situation. Not somebody from a pulpit, but right there where they're living. Something happens, you're sitting around the dinner table, your kids are talking about what happened at school today, and you see an opportunity to teach your child something. You know, Jesus taught people something about the temple here. He said, my Father's house is a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves and robbers. I wish that parents would teach their kids something about the house of God. To have respect. To honor and fear the Lord. You're doing your kids a disservice when you don't teach them such things. And they will decide that church is not even important someday, and you'll say, I don't know what happened. I'm telling you right now what happens. You tell them it's not important when you don't bring them, and you tell them it's not important when you let them just run the halls and act like little idiots. I'm sorry, I got to deal with the Lord right now. Lord, I really do. I'm trying to put away my pride. I've told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't care. And this is what it took for me, all right? I just had to tell the Lord, I don't care if they like me, if they say I'm a good preacher. I'm done with that. I'm going to try to help people. Whether they like me or not, whether they think I can preach or not, I'm just going to try to help them. And if you use me to minister to them, that's what I care about. And that's what I'm doing. So if I offended you, just know this. I'm trying to love you. I'm trying to help you. You need to be teaching your kids. You should be the number one discipler of your kids. But we got to always be teaching others. And to do that, we got to always be learning. Well, you can't teach what you don't know, so you got to keep learning. You know, we got to be ready to answer the tough questions. As you know, if you talk to people about the Lord, there's going to be people who ask you tough questions. And I don't think that you need to make stuff up. Don't start talking about stuff you don't know. Never forget a guy I heard talking to a coworker at Target one day. And the coworker was going out to party for New Year's Eve. And so he was trying to tell her that, you know, that was wrong and shouldn't be drinking. And she says, well, you know, Jesus drank wine. And he says, well, it wasn't real wine. It was just grape juice. And this is his argument. And I was just like. Don't make stuff up and don't talk about stuff you don't know. But you know what? We ought to always be doing our best. We ought to be learning so we do know. I mean, don't get under condemnation tonight, but get under conviction that, hey, I'm going to learn. I'm going to be further down the road next year than I am now so I can help more people. You know, a lot of times we just kind of shove off the difficult questions. And I'll tell you, one of the main ones that ask you questions is your kids, especially if they come to you a time or two and get some answers. They'll keep coming. Mark chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. He arose from there and he came to the region of Judea by the other side of the Jordan, and multitudes gathered to him again. And as he was accustomed, he taught them again. Jesus was always teaching. The Pharisees came and asked him. Now, they came with a false motive, of course, but they said, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Testing him. Tough question. As you know, you need to have an answer. You need to study to show yourself approved, that you're prepared to the best of your ability. Not that you know everything. Listen, I've been a pastor or youth pastor for a long, long time, and there's a lot of things I don't know. But my point is we should always be studying and learning so that we are ready to answer the difficult questions. And when your kids have questions, it's so awesome when you can be the one to say, well, you know, I think this, but do you know the Bible says... Colossians 4, 6, let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. It's through our instruction and influence that we leave a lasting legacy. You want to leave a legacy? You see, it's the influence that you had on other people. That's what will really last. It will last into eternity. And I just want to close tonight. Well, I'm going to give you just a little bit more real quick, all right? Genesis 18, 19. Here's some awesome things about Abraham that maybe you haven't ever thought about. Abraham was the friend of God. He was the father of faith. But here's something else that the Lord said about him. He says, I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Abraham didn't even have children yet. And God says, I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him. That's a legacy. What a legacy Abraham has, the father of faith. He commanded his children to serve the Lord. Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently, teach them diligently, teach them diligently. Have the youth pastor do it. Have the children's worker do it. Maybe we can get the schools to do it. No, you do it. Teach them diligently to your children. Diligently. That means you work at it. You go after it. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And I'm telling you as a pastor that if you as a parent will do that, you won't be saying, well, I took them to church. I don't understand. Teach them diligently. Some other 15-year-old kid doesn't have to be the greatest influence in your child's life. You can be. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you you're not important. You are. You're the one that can leave a legacy in their life. 2 minutes. Here we go. We should always be learning. Life is God's school to teach us to grow. Sometimes we learn from the school of hard knocks. Not the best way to learn, but sometimes that's what it takes. Psalms 119, verse 71 says, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. I hope you don't have to be afflicted in order to learn. That's a tough way to go. There's a better way. It's the very next verse. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Oh, if we just learn from God's word. That's the way to learn. Now, if you're going to teach others, you got to learn. So I'm talking about that right now, how you can learn. We should learn from the Holy Spirit, our teacher. Jesus said it, John 14, 25 and 26. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to remembrance all the things I said to you. We should learn from life. You know, the Apostle Paul did. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but Philippians, I have learned to be content. In verses 11 through 13, he says, I have learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. How did he learn that? Well, he had been through some times when he had plenty and times when he didn't have so much. And he learned something from it. Now, you can go through circumstance and experiences and learn the wrong things, but with the Lord's help, you learn the right things. And here's what he said, I learned to be content. But here's the point, you can be learning from life if you're looking to God and letting him teach you through life. You can even learn from God's creation. Psalms 19, 2 through 4, day unto day utters speech. Night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. I'm telling you, if you want to learn, you just look at creation. God will teach you something. He'll teach you how awesome, how vast, how majestic, how beautiful, how holy he is. He'll reveal his character to you in all creation. Well, stand with me. I love you. I hope you learned a little bit tonight. And whether you think I can preach or teach or not, know this, I love you and I want to help you. Lord bless you.